Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Actually, heard him say during worship to me, this may have been just for me, but I'll share it with you. But he said along the lines of, what's it matter to you? What proof do you need but to be with me? And that was him telling me, doesn't matter what you're going through. The only proof you need that you're winning is you're with him. You know, it's kind of like when you have your kid and you say, I need you to come here. Why? Because I told you to. Why? Well, I want to know all the details. I want to know all the information. I want to have everything laid out perfectly so then I feel safe. No, the reason you feel safe is you're with your Father. That's all you need to know. Now, that may have been just for me, but you can take it too if you want to. If you're with your Father, that's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Amen. Isn't God good? Glory to God. Sure glad you're here. We're going to start out of Colossians chapter 2. I want to continue talking about the body. I think partly one of the reasons I'm trying to, or I feel led to go down this direction, is to help us to remove some of the religious thinking that's ingrained in our system. For years, many of us have been trained that there's a two-tiered system of ministry. There's the fivefold. Those are the professionals. And then there's the rest of us. And we like that in America because that allows the majority of people not to have to worry about actually hearing God and obeying God and laying their life down for God. So the fivefold are the professionals. They're the ones you go to if you need a miracle. They're the ones you take your friends to if you need a miracle or a counseling or a word from God. They're the ones who get paid. And the rest of us just come to church, come on Sunday, leave your money in the bucket, and then come back next Sunday. Don't yell too much at your kids. Don't cheat on your taxes too much. Don't speed too often. At least don't get caught. Wear your seatbelt when you can. And then come back to church on Sunday. And we do this again. And so the one point that's missing is you don't have to lay your will down. You don't have to seek God. You just live your life and do good in the name of God. It's easier to put money in the bucket to feed the poor than it is to actually go out and feed the poor. That's another message. But the body is what the Apostle Paul describes the church as. Not a building, not a two-tiered system, the fivefold on stage and everyone else in the crowd. You know, we're going to raise money to do this. So you put your money in the bucket, you did your job, I'll take care of the business. I'm the professional. We're going to send missionaries and do all these things. Now, as a corporate group, there are many things we can do that are beneficial, but I find that much of the church hides behind that kind of organization. But when you see us as being a body and you being part of the body, that changes everything. There's no place to hide. There's no place to sleep. If you are part of the body. If you're part of the body, every part has to participate. Every part has a role to play. Say amen if you understand what I'm about to go after here. There's a religion that's been built in America, but it's been around forever, where the people get to play not part of the body. They get to come in, participate with finances, participate in certain things, but then they get to go live their life and come back on Sunday. And preachers who preach that type of message benefit, but the people benefit too because you get to actually think that you're growing in God when you're not. I had someone tell me, said, you know, someone asked me to help in ministry. Now, I'm going to end up going down to serving, but no, probably not today, to understanding how serving and works in the gospel. But they asked to help, and the place that I could trust them was in a menial task. Because, you know, with anything, trust is the more important than what you can do. You can be the best guitar player in the world, but if you only show up once out of every 10 times, no one's going to invite you to come. Because they're not going to trust that you're going to show up. We have little babies around here, mamas with little babies. No mama's going to trust their baby with a stranger. You know, if you drop 9 babies out of 10 and you ask to pick up a baby, the mama's not going to let you pick up her baby. The last 9 you drop, but you can trust me on this one. You know, it's like dealing with a drug addict. I've been clean for a week, and then they're a minute late for something. You're like, where are you? And they give you a speech. I don't know if you ever had this speech. I've had this speech lots of times. How dare you judge me? I'm clean. I've been clean for a week. I know the last 1,000 times I was late and I was out doing drugs. But today I really was. How dare you judge me? You know, it's like, no, that's the point. We do get to judge you, you know, because the last 100 times you failed. It's when you've proven that you can be trusted, then you can be trusted. And this kind of proving and trust is missing in the body or in the church world today. We have millions of people on Sunday today sitting in church services who are not part of the body. Because to be part of the body, you have to be a participant. You have to be active, included, needed. There's no breaks for your body. You get a little tap on your shoulder, middle of the night, hello? And the little voice says, yeah, this is your liver. Yeah? I need a break today. What? Yeah, I need a break today. So I'm tired. I'm just tired. I feel offended. I need a break today. Do you ever have that happen? You usually call a 911 when that happens. So. See, I want us just to envision, and I know it can seem like very practical, but the gospel is very practical. In every gospel that Paul writes, you find out first he talks spiritual, and then he tells you how to be a good wife and a good husband and be a good children. And be, you know. So it's not just seek God and get anointed. There is some practical advice given in the gospel. Amen? And so the imagery of a body is like, I don't know, how many of you have had a vision from God, a dream or a vision or something? Now, what's beautiful, if it's an authentic vision from God, authentic, then you can go back in there 10 years later and walk around and look around at every aspect of that vision and find new little things along the way. Like, wow, that was really, I mean, God is deep. God's incredible. When he paints a picture, it's much deeper than the first time you've seen it, right? And so that's why when Scripture, when he's painting an image, you can explore that image by walking around in it if it's authentic. So when he's describing us as a body, then we should see ourselves as part of a body. Let's explore the body. Does any part of your body get to not participate? You can answer that question. It's not a trick question. It's a very practical way, a practical image that you can understand, that everyone can understand without a preacher like me having to explain it to you. When you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and you see your body, and all of it's working, all of it's there, that's great. But if something is missing, you know, that's going to be odd. You know, where's my left ear? My left ear just, where'd it go? We have church members who think they have a right. Now, don't get me wrong, because you as an individual have a right to do whatever you like. But we have church members who call themselves part of the body that seem to like to switch churches on a regular basis. You know, like your left ear is walking down the street with a little protest sign saying, I'm going to the other church. That body is prettier than this in your body. You know, where does that happen? But it's very often nowadays in our churches today, we see people, I am positive that God shows up to promote someone and he can't find them. It's like, I put you here. Where'd you go? Where is he? You know, the angel that's supposed to watch out for, he said, I don't know. They switched churches 5 times this last year. I have no idea where they went. I'm tired of following them around. But it's so much in our mentality to have that right and the privilege, the power to make choices, to do what we want. I deserve. But yet when you look at our own body, we don't hear that, do we? And this is the point. One of the simple points that in being a body means you are to be a participant. And one of my biggest beefs, people who work so hard at hearing God's voice and are so excellent at hearing God's voice that they miss out on walking in God's will. And they can tell you about yourself. They can read people's mail. They can minister in the moment. But they can't even stay still for 10 minutes. I don't know if you know people like that. I know a ton of believers like that. And they drive me crazy. Because they use the ability to hear God as proof for them to do what they want instead of staying where God wants them to stay. Because many times, staying is 1,000 times harder than doing. So the main purpose I'm trying to talk about is the body. Is number one, to prove to you that you are part of the body. You are. You may say, well, I'm insignificant. Why? Well, because my skill set isn't to preach. Well, that's probably good. Because we only have one pulpit. And it's going to be pretty difficult. I mean, can you imagine? Let me pass the mic around and let everyone have a chance to preach. And one of you preach for a minute. One of you preach for a second. One of you just stand there quiet. And the next one will preach for an hour. The other one will complain about what the church isn't doing. And there's a reason there's only one pulpit. You know, because it's only one small part of the body. But we have in our mind, and I'm not blaming us, I'm just blaming the culture has in our mind, the fivefold ministry is on the stage, then the rest of us, we just participate in the little tasks. We're going to look in chapter 2, we'll just start here. We're going to just take a few verses, I'm not going to overdo it today. I'll try not to overdo it today. Chapter 2 of Colossians 2. And we're going to look at just a few verses here. We'll start in verse 18. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility. So say false. So there's real humility and then there's false humility. Okay. And worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So how many know that your fleshly mind can help you get puffed up? Thank God we have a spiritual mind that doesn't ever allow us to get puffed up if we listen to that. Now look at verse 19. And not holding fast to the what? To the head. Now think of the word holding and think of the word fast. Holding fast. What image does that put in you? Kind of like, it should be an image of kind of like a tug of war that you're having to hold fast so that it doesn't slip out of your hands. In other words, it's trying to be pulled out of your hands. If you just do this, you're going to lose it. When I say this, I've just got my hand open. So let me give you an example. Holding fast. So Joe, come on up here, Joe. Grab this prayer cloth here, or this cloth. And let me get someone really strong. Mike, come on up here. Look at Mike. He's got muscles. Poor Joel doesn't stand a chance. Now, you hold on to one end, and then you hold on to the other hand. Now, for those who are listening, Joe has got the cloth sitting in his hand. It's like a rope. We're pretending this is a rope. It's a long cloth. Mike, who's got big muscles here, is about to pull the cloth, but Joe is not holding fast. He's just holding it. Give it a tug, Mike. Look at that. It just fell right out of his hand. Why? Because he wasn't holding fast. So let's put that back in. Now, hold fast, Joe, because Mr. Mike here is going to try to pull that out of your hands. Whoa. Now we got a tug of war, and everyone's laughing because Joe is not letting go, and he's being drug around the floor by Mr. Mike. Thank you, guys. You can have a seat. Yes, give them a big hand clap. So look at verse 19 again. And he's rebuking them. He's saying, and not holding, so this is a negative, and not holding fast to the head. So when Joe lost hold of the rope, it was because he was not holding fast to what? To the head. Now let's go back to verse 18. Let no one cheat you of your reward. So there's people out there, well-meaning, I'm sure, maybe not, preaching in the name of God, who have the ability, if you listen to them, to cheat you of your reward. That means you get to heaven and you won't get the reward you thought you were going to get. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into things which he has not seen. So he's telling you about stuff that he's really not seen. Vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, speaking out of the fleshly mind. And not holding fast to the head, from whom the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. So, not holding fast to the head. You know what that's implying for you personally and for me? That if you don't hold fast to the head, you're not going to be connected to the head. Because somebody, inspired by the enemy, willingly or unwillingly, is going to try to talk you out of it, is going to tug you away from listening to Christ as your head. That makes sense so far? So, if you're going to stick with Christ as the leader of your life, you better hold on to him, because there's going to be a fight to get you to let go, to get you to stop listening. Now let's read the rest of 19. And not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, say all the body. Are you part of the body? Can you hear God on your own? See, we all know this. You've been here long enough to know you can hear God on your own. You're connected to the head in your own body. Which part of you tells you what to do? Which part of you tells your hand where to go? And your foot. I remember Gary set me free one time. I was trained that you give in every offering. That's how I was trained. For years, I would give in every offering. Didn't matter what it was for, something, anything, you know. And Gary talked about obedience to the head, how if he went to go give someone some money, his hand never argued on the way to get the wallet and said, no, I'm not going to do it. Yeah, or his hand did just do what his hand listened to the head. I got free from having to give in every offering, and I began to learn to listen and obey rather than just blindly participate. But the head is to tell the body what to do. Now, if you're part of the body, you have a place in the body. You belong, but to belong, you also have to hear. Now, hearing, let me make a big difference here. Hearing is not about hearing every day. That's what God told me at the beginning of the service. You don't need to hear all the details. Just follow me and do what you're told and know you're going to win. I don't need to hear, do I go to church on Sunday? We belong to the prayer center here, but there's people that don't belong here. But God sent me here. I know that God sent me here. I don't need to hear him. Do I come next Sunday? I just show up. Why? Because that's where he sent me. I don't need to hear God to tell me. Now, he has a right to tell me to not show up, but he has to be the one who does that. Some people hide behind hearing God's voice, and they miss the very simplicity of just doing what he said. That was good. And not holding fast to the head, from whom the body, nourished and knit together, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Now, if you're part of the body of Christ, you cannot be by yourself. You cannot be by yourself. You will be connected. Now, there's two things in here that are important. The word joint and the word knit. Knit means that somebody else puts you together. That implies that God places you beside someone else. Joint implies that you chose to join yourself. It's a partnership that you make a decision. So it's not as easy as God just put me here. I just, you know, grumbly, can't believe God put me beside you, you ugly thing. I hate you. I hate sitting here. I hate being here. You know, it implies both. You allowing God to put you somewhere and you agreeing to participate in that knitting. Amen? There's no part of your body that is not important. Now let's go to Ephesians because he talks about the same thing. I think I'm going to start in Ephesians 5. Let's go up to verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husband. Now, this is New King James. I'm sure the King James doesn't use the word submit. That's kind of a mean word to use. Oh, it does? All right, women, submit to your husbands. As to the Lord. I'm sorry, I just had to throw that in there. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. So that means you don't submit to your husband because he's the best husband. You submit to your husband. And, oh, I better change. Let me keep reading. Let me go on to 23. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, as he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as a church is subject to Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, here you go, ladies, love your wives, just as Christ also loves the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands also love their own wives as their own what? Bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, if he's smart. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Now look at verse 30. For we are members of his body. This is really powerful here. We are members of his body, of his what? And of his, so of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his wife, his father and mother, and be joined to his wife. The two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, and I speak concerning Christ and the church. Listen, you're part of his body, his flesh and his bones. You're not insignificant. Where I feel that we have let religion creep into a really deep area for us who are pursuing the will of God is we target an image of who we think we need to be successful in God's eyes. Instead of allowing him to place us and tell us and to let us discover where we fit. I remember I've told this story before, but going to Nicaragua, we took a group and we went and did lots of different mission stuff, and we stayed at a place. They had a brick or kind of a brick kind of wall, because you have to have your own security there, and broken glass on top of the wall around the house where we stayed. And they told us it's not really safe for you to go outside of the wall, especially at night. And we were there for a few weeks and ministered in that. And every morning we'd eat breakfast, and I'd have everyone on the trip take turns doing the devotional in the morning, share a testimony. We got down to one fellow, his name was Robert. And he just couldn't make himself do it. He was so uncomfortable sharing. You know, I'm a little mean in that way, like, no, you can do it. You can do it. And I just could not make him. I finally got him to say a few words. And it was, you know, because I'm expecting 5-10 minutes at least of, I'm having a good time. This is what happened. God told me this. This is what I'm praying for. Read a scripture. I don't care. Just take 5 minutes and be part of the group, you know. And good old Robert, he just said, God is good. That's all I got to say about that. And that was the best he can come up with, something like that, just something simple. But he could not make himself share, not in front of people, not in the services, not even with friends. He could not make himself do that. I would like to see him overcome that, but he could not make himself do that. Now, if you were looking at him, you would think, well, he's really, you know, what did you come for? Why are we on this trip? After we ate breakfast, I heard this noise outside the wall. And there was Robert, little short guy, simple man, just loved God, outside of the wall playing soccer with about a ton of kids from the neighborhood and having a ball. And none of us had a chance to reach the kids, but Robert reached the kids. Now you tell me, what was the problem, Robert or me? Me trying to make him be someone who he wasn't supposed to be because I put too much value on something? Or him being okay with being himself? Now, I'm not saying you hide from your fears. I'm saying when you find out who you are in God, it's okay to be who you are in God. And you should never feel inferior or less important than anyone else. We should have men and women of all types, of all callings, walking alongside each other, sitting in the room together, and not feeling inferior, not using our testimonies as bargaining chips. To say, look how God's using me. What's he doing in you? Boy, that's a whole nother sermon right there. To be safe and secure in who God has you be. The point of the body is to see a few things. You're important. You can't take a break. I need a break from the body. Can you imagine? Think about that. Does that happen? A little tap on the shoulder. What? I need a break today. You can't take a break. I need you. No, I'm taking a break. I just can't take it anymore. I don't care. You're just too bossy. Now, when I'm talking about the body, I'm not necessarily talking about us being in the same location as Tulsa, because I know we have a unique group around the world that listen and participate that God's brought together. Well, you're as equal part of the body as we are. There's no difference. But let's get out of singular thinking that I'm only good for one thing. Let's start finding out where God wants to knit us together as. Now, let's go over to chapter 4. Because he says here that we are his flesh and of his bones. Ephesians 4. We'll start in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, I've had people come to me and say, I want to help, I want to participate, and all I have for them that I can trust them with is a menial task, because that's all I can trust them with. If I can't trust them, one of my principles for serving, I call it the mama principle, which is, it's easy to say, I'll help when I can. But that also means you can disconnect when you want to and connect when you feel like it. But what part of your body gets the right to do that? Which one of us gets to tell God that? God, I'll help you when I can. I'm available when I feel like it. And everyone tell that to God? I'm sure all of us have tried that. And, you go to church and you say, God, my aunt Sue is coming to church. She never came to church. All I'm asking God is please don't let anyone break out in tongues. And don't let the crazy dancing lady do her dancing thing. Please, God, that's all I need. Because I know that Aunt Sue will accept you today if she doesn't see any craziness in the church. And although our church can be a little crazy at times, I'm praying, God, don't let the craziness go on today. Because I finally talked to Aunt Sue into coming to church. And what happens? The crazy lady sits right in front of Aunt Sue and does her dancing and prays the tongue. Does everything you said that Aunt Sue will not like? How many have had that happen? Why? Because God says, if you're coming to me, you come on my terms, not on your terms. And so I've had people come to me and say, well, I want to help and when I can. And I say, well, I don't do I can helps. And then I have people come and say, well, what can I do? And I have something menial because it's all I can trust them with. And I call it the mama principle. That if you're a mama, you take care, you think about your baby. You take care of your baby. And so I have them come and all I can trust them with is menial things. So because it's menial, it's not what they want to do, they would say, well, that's using them. It's using them because it's something menial. It's not something important. If it was important, in their view, it wouldn't be using them. It would be wonderful. But I don't trust you with important, so let me trust you with what I can trust you. Using is not being asked to participate. Using is when I let you think. How do I explain using? Using is if you go to somebody and you say, I want to participate in the name of growing in my calling. And they let you participate, but you're not growing. You're just spinning your wheels. That is using. You know, talk to your liver. Is it complaining because it's a liver? That's the point of the body. So I call it the mama principle. That means that you take care of business. All of us dads, when we first had to change a baby's diaper, have more appreciations for a mama after you change a few diapers. All right, let me get back on track. Ephesians 4, verse 16. And from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I want us to see ourselves no longer as people who are okay with just sitting. Because God has a place for you in the body. But the place with you in the body is not just between you and Him. It's also between you and other parts of the body. That is working together. That means that there is a joining together between you and the people that God puts you beside. God doesn't put you beside everybody, but He will put you beside somebody in some way. And I've watched many, 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 many people, and this is from experience, I know, who wait their entire life for God to use them and never get promoted by God. They never get knit into place by God because they won't come to the one place where they give up fighting for their life. I get to choose. I get to do what I want. I have a right to disconnect or connect. See, if I can talk you out of that, letting go of the right to disconnect or the right to connect, then you'll find that God is very willing and has always been very willing to promote you into a position of your calling. Many people spend their whole life waiting for God to promote them because they're trying to twist His arm into saying, I only want to do this. I won't do that, but I'll do this. I don't like that, but I like this. That's why when we get to serving, when I talk about a mama, which mama gets to choose? I always love that one commercial that says it's a headache or a cold medicine, but it shows a mom knocking on the door. It looks like she's at work. Opens up the door and says, I'm not feeling well today. I want to take the day off. And then the camera pans from the mom over to the little baby in the crib. And then the little baby's looking at the mom, and the camera pans back to the mom and says, moms don't get a day off. Take this cold medicine and get through it. Toughen up and get through it. So I see people try to be involved with church activity or God's activity without connecting, without proving that they can be connected and trustworthy to show up, to do it right. And that's why when you come to participating with the body, many people will never be knit into a body because they refuse to let God lead their steps and let God put them in a place they don't want to be, they don't like. Which of us gets to choose? God, I'm called to be an apostle. I remember dealing with all kinds of Bible college students. Hey, we need help. We're going to set up chairs. Oh, no. I'm not called to that. You're not called to what? Set up chairs. I'm called to preach. Now, if you have a microphone, I'll preach. If you have a pulpit, I'm there for you. But setting up chairs, now we're in a church building, so it's easier to use that as an example, but there's many examples. And what they didn't understand was that if you can't be trusted with something simple, then God's not going to trust you with something more. If you're not faithful in the little, why do you think He's going to trust you with something more important? Why will He trust you with a person's life if He can't trust you with showing up on time? He can't trust you to care for something that doesn't pay you back. You only help when it's convenient, when it's rewarding. Oh, help me, Jesus. That's the only time you participate. When you're seen, let me take a moment here. There's a part that I feel this rising up in me that I'm trying to address. Usury of people for your own good. Usury of the gospel. Usury of testimonies. Usury of spiritual experiences to position yourself higher than someone else. I used to be impressed with people who could tell stories until I found out most of the stories were a little bit tinted towards making them look better. One young man, I remember it was so funny, he came in to preach and he was related to a famous preacher, the grandson of a famous preacher. So because he had the same name as the famous preacher, obviously he was as good as the famous preacher. And that's what we thought. And so his testimonies were pretty impressive until we find out they weren't exactly accurate to what actually was there. Things like, yeah, I got 15 churches. But I found out that he actually just donated money to an organization that had 15 churches. And it comes out of an insecurity that says, I'm not good enough in my calling the way it is, so I have to give you something to make you look up to me. We had one lady who preached. I remember she came to preach, and she was preaching away. I had a Dakes Bible. Ever have a Dakes Bible? And I was the only one in the Bible college in my first year of school that had a Dakes Bible. So this woman began to preach, and she said, "I'm going to give you 10 things that God showed me." And she turned to this Bible, turned to this page, this verse, and I turned. Well, she was using the Dakes Bible, and those 10 things were in my column like they were in hers. But it didn't dawn on her that someone else may have had a Dakes Bible too. So the 10 things that God showed her were stolen from the Dakes Bible. And wouldn't you know it, that throughout the years that I heard her preach, she would always preach out of someone else's revelation, someone else's book, because she never felt secure in herself to share what God had shown her. But if she ever just testified, it was an amazing, amazing service. But because she was building her image, and what danger we have today through social media. Do you understand, you're listening to preachers that you have no idea who they are? They have nice sound bites, nice things. I was with Brother Norval one time, Norval Hayes, and we were traveling from California to Tennessee. We started in Hawaii, went to California, Tennessee, and he told a joke. And when you're a traveling preacher, you only need one suit if you do one every Sunday, because the next Sunday, the people don't know that what you wore last Sunday. And you only need one message, you know. But Brother Norval had more messages, but he ended up telling a joke. Just came up with this joke. He told it, and everyone laughed. Well, for the next 15 churches, he told that same joke, and everyone laughed. And I understood it was funny the first time, but the 15th time for me wasn't so funny. But for each individual church, well, do you know that's how TV works? I had a guy offer to put us on TV, and he had like a church of 20 people. And he had trained all 20 how to answer phones. And he had one rich guy who was behind him. And he said, "Let's go on TV." He goes, "I'm on TV all over the place." And what you find out is you go on TV, in one city you get 8 people who respond, or we'll say 10, or 100. We'll just say 10. 10 people who respond by phoning in. That's 10 phone calls from that one city. So now you take the same message to another city, and now you have 20 people calling. Because the same message will reach the same people the same way, because people are people are people. So now you got 2 cities, you got 20 phone calls, and the next city, all you have to do is buy airtime, same message, same time. Now you got 30 people, 40 people, 50 people. So he was trying to gather people to answer phone calls from the people calling from the cities that he was touching. But his message in his own city didn't work. His message in his own church didn't work. It wasn't healthy. But because he could multiply it through television, and he had the look, he was able to gather a following without being authentic. Is that making sense? Nowadays, you have your own TV camera right there in your hand through your phone. You can reach the whole world. It's okay. It's great to reach the whole world if you got something good to reach it with. But it's amazing how many people have been conditioned by religion to accept a two-tiered gospel. I, the mighty preacher, am going to pray for you. I'm going to prophesy to you. I'm going to preach to you. See, I don't have any, I really don't have anything to give you other than what God says, and I do my best to do what God's trying to tell me to say. Gary says all the time, we don't preach what we know, we preach what we hear. Point of spirituality, what's more impressive to God? A spiritual experience or you growing spiritually? Because they're two different things. A spiritual experience or you growing spiritually? Because when I look at my own son, my own kids, I can celebrate that he scored a goal in soccer. That would be at a moment of life that we celebrate. But what's more important to me, him getting to celebrate that moment of scoring a goal, or him eating his healthy food so he gets a little taller? Which is more important? Well, do you understand how important you are to the gospel? If you realize that you're such a part of the body that you cannot be left without, that just because you don't hear God tell you the waitress's name at the gas station down the road, to go to the gas station and run into this lady and minister her, just because you don't hear that, does that mean you're less spiritual than the guy that does? Does that mean that you wasted time in your day because you prayed in the Holy Ghost and you grew? You tell me which is more important. My beef, I think I'm getting to today. I got something in my craw I'm trying to get out, and I don't know exactly how to word it. So that's why we're going through this today. If it's not growing spiritually, it's not real spiritual. If what you're doing in your life is not making you grow spiritually, then you're wasting your time, because you're going to stay the same and you're going to pursue God in a smaller version, a cheaper version than what he has available for you. Because what he has available for you is powerful. It may not seem powerful to you if you compare it to someone else. I'm all for, like, I love testimonies of people getting healed. But as long as they're not competitive. You ever have a competitive testimony? If you've gone through something, maybe you've been through something. Your marriage, your sons or your kids gone crazy on you, your health, and someone comes up to you and goes, "Oh, I had that problem. My kid was not serving God, but I prayed and God fixed it." That's a competitive. If you had faith like me, God would have fixed your marriage. God would have fixed your finances. God would have fixed your body. But a healthy testimony is, I prayed and believed God, and God came through, and he'll do it for you too. It's not a race against time. It's hope. You can win because it's all through him anyway. So let's get back to the body. Because when we talk about the body, it's not very spiritual sounding. You're part of the body. But what part are you? Do you get to be the fun part or the not so fun part? Do you get to be the fun part? Man, I travel around the world. I remember we had Jason came in here one time, was preaching. Yeah, I've been to this city, been to this country, and we all got excited. I looked at my wife and I thought, yeah, pack up the babies, baby, we're going around, we're going to travel. You know, it's like, you and I have to get comfortable knowing that it's okay to find your place with God. And on the road to being knitted together, he's going to take you places you may not want to go. He's going to ask you to do things, not to let you stay there, but for you to prove that you can be trusted. Young, I like picking on young people, but it's different standards in a sense. Single, married, kids, age, you know, someone come up to you when I was doing the Bible call, I want to be a preacher. So what would I give them? I'd give them a mop or a broom. And they'd say, well, what's this for? Well, that's a mop. That's to mop. You know, like swash around the floor and get all the dirt. Yeah, but I want to be a preacher. And I said, yeah. So take the mop and mop. But I want to be a preacher. I understand that. See, when you understand that God is your promoter, not man, then your goal is no longer to impress man. It's to be faithful so that God can trust you. See, you can hurt people. Do you understand? You can hurt people with your theology, with your what you speak about God and for God. Gary tells a story of when his sister passed away when he was young. I believe the preacher said to his dad, the reason your daughter died was because you weren't being faithful with your finances. Oh, you weren't being faithful to attend church. You can really hurt people speaking for God. But you can't hurt a model. You can not show up. You can be unfaithful. You can lie to the mob. You can tell the mob all kinds of things. You're not going to hurt it. It looks like a mic stand, so just pretend it's a mic. Preach while you're mopping. But see, I know this. I do know this, that if you're faithful in the little things, God will promote you to bigger things. And I do know this, that if you're not faithful to the little things, God will not promote you to the bigger things. No matter how much you complain, no matter how much you justify, no matter how much you strive to make it on your own, I do know this. God refuses to promote you above your faithfulness. You can promote yourself. Abraham's problem was not Ishmael. Abraham's problem was he created Ishmael. He created Ishmael in his own ability, trying to make God's will happen on his own. And when I look across many ministries, I see many Ishmaels. Because when you get tired on waiting on God, because he refuses to promote you into your calling, that you begin to justify fixing it. If you walk yourself into the calling, you're not being knitted into the body. You're trying to place yourself above other people. But when God knits you in there, you're where you belong. And you're not competitive. No one can take it from you. If no one gave it to you, no one could take it from you. So what do? I want to find my place in the calling. Be faithful with what's in front of you. What's in front of you? What can you be faithful to? Is it a mop? A mop's very traditional for a church. But let me tell you about myself. I'd much rather be faithful to a mop than just sit and not do anything. God, I'm called to preach. I have prophecies and visions and dreams of called to do this, called to preach. But you won't promote me. You won't promote me. So, bless God, what am I going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to find something to do that's not going to hurt anybody. I can be faithful in something. And in the season of trusting God, do you know that in your mistakes, they're just as important as your victories? That when you go to God in your mistakes and find love, compassion, healing, let's keep going, that is as important as the victories of good job. That in every aspect of your walk with God, he's there for you. It's when you start taking control of your life or you never let control go that you're going to miss out on God knitting you into part of the body. And there's no better place to be than in God's will. Him knitting us into the body. I think what I'm trying to get to is the part of religion that allows us to serve God without yielding our life over to him. Where we're still in charge. I'll give you my time. I'll give you my money. I'll give you my attendance. But I still have a right. But what part of our body has a right to say, I'm changing bodies. I'm changing course. I'm taking a day off. See, even if you don't feel good, even if you're offended, it's best to keep showing up. Because that's what the mama does and that's what a body does. You show up and you be faithful. Let's read one more time. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's just start in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Now, let me just say this again. You're not just connected to the head. You're connected to each other. That's the body. I see too many believers, spiritual believers, pursue an independent connection with God. I always like the old story of the cross. The cross goes both ways, vertical and horizontal. We can't be a body without being connected to Christ and connected with each other. If you're not connected, you're missing out on something. There is a connection that's important, that you allow God to connect you to each other. Someone has to need you. Someone has to be disappointed if you're not there. That's how you know you're connected. If part of your body decides not to show up, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to figure out something's missing. There's a power that men like to hold. When I was flying somewhere to go preach, and I had free upgrades, and so I got up to first class. I remember the lady saying to me, "Do you want to use your upgrades?" And I said, "What's an upgrade?" And she said, "Well, an upgrade, you earn upgrades by flying a lot, and you get so many upgrades. For every so many miles, if you use an upgrade, you can be bumped up to first class." I said, "Oh, do I have upgrades?" She goes, "Yeah, you have like 73 of them." I said, "What?" She goes, "Yeah, would you like to use them for this flight? It costs you 3 upgrades to go first class for this flight." And I said, "Well, yeah." And so here I was sitting in first class. And when you don't pay for it, you feel like you have to act like you deserve to be there. So you're not playing on your phone. You're trying to read a magazine like you're important, or do something that, write a note or something like you're a business guy. You got to look something like you deserve to be there. And I remember sitting there, and I felt God. He didn't actually do it, but it was like He tapped me on the shoulder and He said, "Look at you in the front of first class. Last year you thought you were going to starve to death." And here's what He told me. Now this is for me. He said, "I'll always take care of you, but I'll never give you the power to take care of yourself." This is where I lost 90% of people who might listen to this message, because they won't let go of the power to be in charge or to take care of themselves. They all want to have a relationship with God where they're in charge, where they have victories. Maybe that's why I got on the testimonies, because they want to use what they have gained in this world as proof that God is blessing them, so they don't have to face the reality that there's a part of them that they have to mortify. The right, the power, the control of this life. Because religion allows you to keep that control, to keep that power, and to serve God at the same time. But being a son of God, being a part of the body, means you have to lose that power, lose that control, where you say, "God, it's not my life. Not just what restaurant I go to, not just what gas station I go to, not just what I hear you tell me to do and say to people, the direction of my life, the calling of my life, where I end up in life, what I do for the gospel in life, that's up to you. And if all I do is sweep and mop a floor, that's all you ever ask me to do, then I'm going to be the best sweeper, mopper the gospel's ever seen. It's not my right to find promotion. It's my right to be faithful with what you ask me to do. My only promoter in life is you." And until we get there individually, we won't be able to be part of the body. The body belongs to the head. Every part of the body belongs to the head, and they belong to each other. I don't know if I'm making sense or not. But until that power is broken, the very heart of religion is broken in each of us, which isn't a one-time thing. It isn't a prayer line message. It's a test every day when your fleshly mind and a sweet-talking preacher tells you there's an easier way, you start getting robbed of your reward, start going down that path. Every day it's a test. Do I be faithful. See, once it's broken, there's no question. There's no option. How many know? How many have a life where you can say, I have no option? I have no option. I remember sitting, talking to a man. Excuse the testimonies, but I'm just trying to make what I'm saying sense. But my car had 250,000 miles on it. Living with eight guys because it helped pay the rent. If I looked after the men's dormitory type thing, I was making maybe $100 a week at the time. But I knew God had put me there. And I got a call and was flown up to Canada. And the pastor sat there and offered me an incredible opportunity to be pastor, senior pastor of an already paid for church, 600 members, be on TV across Canada every Sunday for free. Everything I believed for, everything that God had told me I would have, right there in a sweet package. But there was nothing in me that wanted it. Why? Why? I didn't have to pray about it. I didn't have to go, let me pray. I knew instantly, as sweet as a deal this is, I can't take it. And I thanked him for the offer. It was incredible. To be trusted with that was so incredible. But I had it turned down. I'm sure you've had many offers and opportunities along the way to get you to change course. But when you come to a place where he's all you have, where he's your only promoter, then you quit looking for opportunity. Because we don't make decisions out of opportunity or out of frustration, but by his will. To belong to the head, the only way is to let go of being in charge. To let go of the rights to change course, no matter how frustrating it can be, no matter how things may not look like they're turning out. What will God tell you? What he told me personally at the beginning of the service, none of your business. Just do what I say. But I want proof. You don't need proof. As long as you're with your Father, it's all you need to know. If you're with the head, head's in charge. We have to break that power. And I'm preaching this to the church as a whole. There is a power of control in individual lives that's been allowed to thrive and grow, and it's been hidden behind spiritual things and natural things, all in the name of God. Spiritual can be, they're having spiritual experiences, feeling gold dust coming, not just, forget about the gold dust, they're having God's experience, services where God's presence comes, but they're like Old Testament saints. They're not growing spiritually. They're having spiritual experiences. And God would much rather have us grow spiritually than to have a bunch of spiritual experiences. Let's find that power. Let's confront it. Let's let God help us to confront it. And let's let go of our life and say, God, my life is yours. My life is yours, even if it takes me to places I don't think I want. Because when you find out where you're called to be, when he puts you in that place, do you understand? You'll find out that's exactly where you've always wanted to be. It's like the girl who at 14 years old says, you know, they make you write down what you want in a mate. So a 14-year-old girl writes down all her, he's got to be this tall, and he's got to be this good looking. And she's got four pages of what she wants in her mate. But when she finally falls in love with the right guy, he meets probably three of those points, you know. But they're the most important three. And that's what you're going to find in your calling. You may have a list of disappointments where you get up every morning and the devil says, look at you, serving God. And you don't have this, 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 or 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 this. But if you look through God's eyes and you look through your calling, you'll find the most important things are there. And you belong to the body of Christ. Your flesh, you're his flesh and his bone. You're not just a member of a church. You're not just a member of a group. You and I are flesh and bone. His flesh, his bone. Amen. Let's stand. Let's just say this. Say, Father, I don't want to live my life for myself. I want to live it for you. I don't need experiences. I just need direction. I give my life to you. Wherever you take me, I'm there. I'm not changing course. I can't be moved by where you have me. Circumstances, frustration, opportunity will not move. I will not move. I give my life to you. I give up the right of my life. I give up the power of my life. You are my only provider. You're my source of everything. I belong to you. I'm your flesh and your bone. You and I are connected. My life is yours. Not just every day, every moment. Where I end up, that's up to you. But I know that it will be a place that I'm meant to be. And I'll be faithful. Thank you, Father, for leading my steps. Now one more time, lift up your hands. Say, thank you, Father, for giving me the courage to walk and obey you. To ignore what man think, but only care what my Father thinks. Because as long as I'm with you, it's all going to be okay. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. If you want prayer, then please come up to the green line. We'll be happy to pray for you today.